Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Louisiana, a police officer is arrested after stalking and threat claims. In Ohio, a teen kills the mother of her 33-year-old boyfriend. And the 10 most dangerous cities where you don't want to buy a home have been released. And we're going to bring you the details. These stories and more coming at you today, Thursday, June 13th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Cindy Overton.
Cindy. Do they have a song that says Cindy in it?
You know they don't.
You know they have Jolie or whatever it is.
Jolie.
Yeah. Jolie. They need a Cindy.
They need a Cindy song for sure.
Cindy. Oh, gosh. Y'all don't want to hear me sing. Well, we're glad to have you again helping us out here on Real Life Real Crime Daily. You have done a wonderful job, ma'am.
Well, thank you for having me. Absolutely. I'll get better as time goes.
Well, you're doing just wonderful. And we're going to jump right into it today. And we're going to bring you to White Castle, Louisiana. And y'all might say, where's White Castle? Well, it's right outside of what's known as Plaquemine, Louisiana. A little cute little community. They even got a antebellum home there. Mm-hmm. I actually, the night of our wedding, we stayed there before we flew out, and it was the Nottingham
yeah.
Plantation. Cool. So yeah, it was beautiful. So, shout out White Castle. Well,
shout out Wendy too.
A former White Castle Reserve officer, however, is accused of stalking a woman and making threatening phone calls to her. Joseph Jordan Sr., who is 60, was arrested by the Brule Police Department after sitting outside of the victim's apartment and calling from a blocked number to harass her. Jordan made vague hints that he wouldn't stop and used his position as a police officer to intimidate the victim. The victim told officers that Jordan verbally and through text communication stated that nothing could keep him away because he is a police officer and no one could keep him away from his child. The police department said a court-ordered DNA test determined that Jordan was not the father. Mm. The victim also told police they were in serious fear of being harmed and retaliated against because of Mr. Jordan's status as a habitual violent offender. And he has stated to her more than once that if he can't have her, no one will. Mm. That according to the warrant. The arrest warrant also said that Jordan was a police officer despite his record as a convicted felon. That to me is crazy.
How is that possible?
His criminal history includes aggravated battery, domestic abuse battery, and aggravated assault. The assistant chief for the Brule Police Department said Jordan was a reserve officer when the warrant was written up, but the chief fired him after they became aware of those charges. He was charged with stalking, intimidation by officers, cyber stalking, and menacing, and was arrested and booked into the West Baton Rouge Parish Jail.
That's just disturbing.
Yeah. And I mean, they, you know, if you're on the victim side of that, and this person is a police officer, that's, mm-hmm. you know, if someone that's not a police officer is stalking and threatening right. you, it's scary.
Scary.
When it's a police officer, it's all kinds of
power,
scary.
The power. Yeah.
Yeah.
The position of authority and everything.
You feel like no one's going to help you. Well, what are you going to do? Call the police?
Right. Exactly. That's scary.
Yeah.
Well, at least he got fired. And I was thinking when you said it, the only way that could possibly happen is as a reserve.
Yeah.
But thank goodness he's not there any longer.
Yeah, absolutely. And like what he says, there's good and bad in every profession. And look, 99% of all cops are great.
Yeah.
But there's good and bad in every profession. And here's one that's a bad guy that needs to be in freaking jail.
Yeah. That's just horrible.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to California.
Yes.
This one's very interesting. And you would give me this.
Yes.
Yeah, you're so nice. So, and officials arrested a 24-year-old YouTube personality this week after he allegedly directed a video in which fireworks were shot from a helicopter toward a speeding Lamborghini in rural Bernardino County.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, who has a helicopter and a speeding Lamborghini to shoot fireworks? Like,
apparently someone with a lot of downloads. A lot of views, huh? This is a freaking YouTuber.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to meet this one. And so thank you, Jim, for this part.
You're welcome.
On July 4th, 2023, is it Suk or Suk?
Suk.
Suk.
Sorry.
Sukmin Choi.
Sukmin Choi.
Oh, my gosh. I have so many funny things that we would say when we go get Chinese food going through my brain.
And we love our Chinese
pronunciation. I just don't. Oh, of course. But we can't pronounce things correctly, you know. So
when I do,
don't want to butcher it.
Yeah. It is Sukmin Choi.
Okay. Well, Sukmin Choi. I don't want to be like Woody always makes fun of me because I've correct people when they're speaking Spanish. Mm-hmm. Not like I'm a fluent Spanish speaker, but because when I lived in Laredo, which I'm sure y'all are tired of hearing me talk about, but it's very, there was a lot of growth learning in that. But
we're actually starting a new segment called When I Lived in Laredo. It's going to be a short story from
Cindy,
your days.
Yeah. But I learned so much from the culture, from living there and everything. And it was just a real, but anyway, I had to learn a lot of Spanish. I was in the service industry. I mean, yeah. I worked in retail. So I had to learn like how to say dressing room and how to say all the apparel names and how to greet a customer and all that. And if I said it wrong to them, they were correcting me.
Yeah.
Like, and so I would say a sentence and then, you know, instead of like fajitas or however, I would have to say it correctly. You know what I mean? And so it is important to be respectful to the culture and say it correctly to me. So I did not want to butcher this, and I thought it was funny that you gave me the story. Anyway, on July 4th, 2023, Sukmin Choi, who also goes by Alex Choi.
I wonder why it goes by Alex Choi.
I mean, because Sukmin is... Are you seriously going there with me right now? I wonder, Jim. Well, at least his name isn't Suk Jim Choi.
Yeah, that's right.
You can boom that out if you
want. No, I'm leaving it.
He posted a video to his channel called Destroying a Lamborghini with Fireworks. And it two women flying a helicopter near the ground are seen shooting fireworks towards a sports car after Choi allegedly presses a fire missile button. The video has since been taken down. According to prosecutors, Choi filmed a behind-the-scenes look at how he shot part of the video, and he explains he coordinated the shoot and directed it. In the clip, Choi reportedly thanks the camera company for being part of my crazy, stupid idea. And he says the crew messed up at one point because Choi allegedly forgot to tell them how to use a torch. According to the attorney's office, Choi decided to end filming, stating, "We're out of fireworks, right?" Choi also allegedly held an apparent firework near the helicopter in other parts of the video. Prosecutors allege the YouTube personality shot the video in June 2023, even though he didn't have the required permits to film fireworks on a helicopter. Investigators believe Choi bought the fireworks in Nevada since they were illegal in California. On June 5th, officials arrested Choi on one part of causing the placement of an explosive device on an aircraft. He faces a maximum sentence of 10 years in federal prison if convicted.
Shout out to Suckman Choi for, trying to build up his YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. You got to be a law-abiding citizen when you're doing that. And you got to follow the permits and all those sorts of things. But wow, he must be doing well even before that video. It sucks that it got taken down. He went through all of that.
Oh, well, I mean, how much money did he put toward? I mean, that's crazy. It had to be
hundreds of thousands of dollars.
A helicopter.
Yeah. A Lamborghini.
Fireworks.
Those are expensive.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Something enjoy. Interesting. All right. Well, we're going to go to something very much more serious, and that is we're going to Ohio, and an Ohio teenager is accused of murdering her adult boyfriend's mother.
Okay.
After giving him an ultimatum to do so. And she's been sentenced along with that boyfriend who helped dispose of his own mother's body.
Oh my gosh.
So on June 4th, Caitlin Coons, 18, and Jonathan Jones, 34. Both pled no contest to aggravated murder and abuse of a corpse in the 2023 death of Nicole Jones. After being convicted, the pair were each sentenced to life in prison with the eligibility of parole after 25 years. Prior to the plea deal, Coons, who was 17 at the time of the murder, had been charged as an adult. And as part of that plea agreement, prosecutors dropped multiple additional charges against Coons and Jonathan. Coons admitted to killing 53-year-old Nicole on April 19th of 2023 by bludgeoning her over the head with a rock in her Toledo, Ohio home because she felt Nicole disapproved of her relationship with her son. Oh. So this is the mother of the 33-year-old right. At that time, guy, and she... the at that time 17-year-old girlfriend kills his mother with a rock. On April 11th of 2023, Coons went missing from her foster home and went to live with her boyfriend, Jonathan, who was living with his mother, Nicole, at the time. Coons reportedly gave Jonathan 5 hours to kill his mother, threatening to end their relationship if he didn't. When Jonathan did not kill his mother, Coons took it upon herself to murder her. Coons and Jonathan then disposed of Nicole's body in a dumpster at an apartment complex. Authorities said they still have not found Nicole's body.
What?
Yeah, so likely the trash people picked it up and put it in the dump.
How do they know that she's dead then?
Well, they admitted to it.
Yeah, but I mean, I could admit to something right now and without a body, how do you prove it?
Well, circumstantial evidence, I guess. Maybe there was blood on the scene where you could tell that she has to be dead. But in their recorded interviews, both defendants detailed wrapping the body of Nicole Jones in tarps and placing her in the trunk of her own vehicle. The two of them had dinner with the body of Nicole Jones still in the trunk of that vehicle. The pair then fled to Mexico, where they were arrested in May of 2023. The U.S. Marshals Service said Jonathan had been wanted for pandering obscene material and child endangerment in Wood County, and Coons was considered an endangered missing child from Canton, Ohio. He had already been convicted of the charges but had evaded sentencing.
I just didn't think that you
could. That's bizarre.
It's whole bizarre. I mean, I did not think that. They don't have a body. What if she's like on vacation?
She
what if he vacation. Has her up like in a penthouse somewhere protecting her?
I don't think there's much chance of that.
That's horrible.
They probably had enough evidence on the scene you know, to know that this woman's got to be dead.
I guess.
And just could never produce an actual body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sadly. Horrible.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know how to preface this one. This is crazy. My son's going to like it.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in Austin, Texas, law enforcement officials have arrested a man with the name of a famous Autobot leader last week after he allegedly stole a vehicle. The Austin Police Department said in an arrest affidavit obtained by Fox 7 in Austin that 37-year-old Optimus Prime.
Oh, that's freaking wonderful.
Blakely was charged with unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. I mean, that's a name.
That's a name.
That's a name.
I would love to have been named Optimus Prime.
If I could
Prime.
Have one more kid, that's what I would name it.
Optimus Prime, yes. Overton.
Whichever my kids name their first child, that will...
That's a great name.
Be disowned, honestly.
Love it. Optimus
Prime. Optimus Prime Blakely. The affidavit alleges that Blakely was stopped by officers on June 4th after he was seen driving a vehicle on Congress Avenue near Radom Lane in a vehicle that was reported stolen. The name Optimus Prime was made famous by the 1980s cartoon Transformers, which was later turned into several blockbuster hit movies featuring stars including Mark Wahlberg, Shia LaBeouf, right?
Shia LaBeouf.
Okay. Megan Fox, Bernie Mac, and John
Voight. Shia LaBeouf,
yeah. And John Voight. The premise of the movie is that alien robots go into hiding on Earth as vehicles, everyday items, and even insects. As a robot in disguise, Optimus Prime took cover as a red and blue semi-truck.
Yes.
As for the man with the Transformer name, Blakely was taken to police headquarters for processing, then transported to the Travis County Jail, where he was held on an $8,000 bond.
Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Now, I would love to hear the actual radio transmission of that officer calling in that name.
Optimus.
So what's the name of the suspect? Optimus Prime.
I mean,
nobody's going to believe you.
No, we've got Optimus Prime here, people.
Yeah. Optimus Prime. I just pulled over. It's registered to Optimus Prime. I mean, there's no way.
When
I read that story, I was like, man, this is crazy.
It is crazy. But awesome. I wonder if he has the wisdom of Optimus.
I doubt it.
I don't think so. Yeah,
none of us can ever have that kind of wisdom. That is just a whole nother realm of wisdom with Optimus Prime. So we're going to go to the United States for once. The entire United States for this story.
Okay.
And found this interesting. CityData.com.
Oh, I've been eager to hear this.
Just released the 10 most dangerous cities that you should not buy a home in, no matter the price. No matter the price. So, and you might be surprised at some of these that are on this top 10. We'll start with Kansas City, Missouri. Known for its amazing barbecue and jazz, unfortunately, Kansas City is also known for its crime.
Mm-hmm.
With a per capita crime cost of $6,398, more than 17 times higher than the nation's safest large city of Irvine, which is interesting. There you go. Irvine, somewhere apparently where it's very safe.
Texas,
which has a crime cost of $364. So that is the difference in that crime cost. So Kansas City, Missouri, number 10. Number 9, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Known for its breweries and beer making, Milwaukee, Wisconsin might be a great place to grab a pint, but it might cost you. The city has a crime cost of $7,000. And then Cleveland, Ohio, number 8. Home to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland also shares a spotlight on this list for a $7,300 crime cost. And when they say crime cost, y'all, they're basically looking at the amount of money the city spends fighting that crime and how dangerous it is. So look at it as almost like a per capita crime rating of some sort.
Okay.
Little Rock, Arkansas, number 7.
What?
Yeah, the capital and largest municipality of Arkansas, Little Rock, is not so little when it comes to the cost of crime. Baltimore, Maryland, number 6. That one doesn't surprise me at all. Number 5 surprised me that it's number 5. Memphis, Tennessee. I figured that would be even worse. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of crime there.
Yeah.
Memphis coming in at number 5. Number 4, not shocking, Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprising at all, really. Number 3, where do you think number 3 would be? This one surprised me.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
East Coast?
Middle of the country.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no guess.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Shoot, I was going to say that.
Does it surprise you, though? Surprises me. I don't know why. When I think of St. Louis, I think of Mark McGuire and the arch. So I guess I've been there for about 10 seconds when I had to fly in on a layover.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
So I've seen the arch, but I've never been there.
Yeah.
New Orleans, Louisiana, number 2.
What? I am insulted.
I know. You're shocked.
Yes. I can't believe that.
And, you know, it's interesting that supposedly, the stats show crime is getting better in New Orleans. They have a state police hub there now that the new governor in Louisiana has put into place. And it seems like their crime has ticked down a lot, and the stats are showing that it's ticked down a lot. So hopefully that'll continue because they've got a Super Bowl to play there.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty excited about.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Woody and you were getting me tickets to that for Christmas. So we'll see if that transpires.
I also heard that I'm going to go to France for a month too. You know.
Well, number 1, this one blew my mind, and it will blow everybody's mind when I say what the number 1, and as a matter of fact, I think somebody needs to fact check this because I can't believe it.
I want to play a game to figure it out because I don't think I'm ever going to guess.
Well, it's a southern state.
Okay.
And it's a southern state, and it's in Alabama, this city. I'll tell you that.
Really? Not Montgomery?
Yes. No, not Montgomery.
I have no idea.
Birmingham.
Really?
I've been to Birmingham.
Yeah.
One of the most beautiful, cleanest cities I've ever been to. At least when I went, which was probably 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Unless it's changed that much. But according to this, it says holding the dubious honor of the highest cost of crime of any large city in the nation is Birmingham at $11,392, more than 31 times higher than Irvine. Birmingham also has a city data crime index value of 738, nearly triple the national average. I find that hard to believe, but y'all let me know.
That's crazy.
That may be aware.
There's some other cities on there that I really thought would have.
Yeah, because Birmingham's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
When I was there. And it didn't look crime infested.
Well, pretty people can do bad things, too.
That's true. That's very true. Especially with me. Break my heart all the time.
Well,
where are we going next, Cindy Everton? I almost called you Woody. Where are we going next, Woody Everton?
That's a huge compliment. You were that comfortable with me that you almost called me Woody. Or my voice is just that good.
Yeah. If you start talking like Woody, that's going to be weird.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go out and have a few cigarettes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this one. All right. A judge ordered a 49-year-old man to serve two consecutive life sentences in prison for killing his girlfriend and her friend in January of 2023. Oh. Yeah. In addition to the life sentences without parole, Richard Satka must also pay over $16,000 in restitution. Satka was convicted in March of two counts of first-degree intentional homicide with the use of a dangerous weapon, criminal damage to property, and multiple counts of bail jumping for the deaths of Rhonda Sekulski and Paula O'Connor. I feel like Woody.
Yeah. Sounded right.
I'm going to say Rhonda C. and Paula O.
There you go.
On January 29, 2023, Green Bay police responded to C's home and found the two women stabbed to death. Satka fled Wisconsin, but he was apprehended the same day in Arkansas. Satka and C were in a relationship, and on the day of the killings, he reportedly walked in on C and O'Connor in a compromising position.
Here we go.
Yeah. He then violently stabbed both of them, causing very large cuts. One of the victims reportedly still had a knife in her neck when police arrived.
Ooh,
that's horrible.
Jesus.
Well, wait till you hear why. I mean, we heard why, because they were in a compromising position. But Satka told the police that he was humiliated. And he snapped.
I bet.
Yeah. So he will appeal his conviction before he argues. He killed C and O'Connor in self-defense. He reportedly said at the sentencing hearing that people want him to show remorse, adding, "I feel nothing."
Mm.
Judge Bo Lijoie, I'm pronouncing it very, it could be Legoa, who knows?
I like Lijoie.
Oh, I like that too. If that's not the way it is, I'm sorry, just change it. to Satka, this is somebody who was a daughter, a sister, a friend, a mother, and a grandmother even, who you basically just wiped off the face of this earth because you felt a little bit insulted.
Yeah.
That's just sick.
Lost his mind. Saw him in a compromising position, and it was
humiliating.
Autopilot. Humiliating.
If I killed somebody every time I felt humiliated.
Yeah.
You know? Like
you'd
out of embarrassment.
Killer.
Yeah. I mean, just anytime I got embarrassed, you'd be dead now. Yeah.
Well,
you gave me that choice.
Yeah. And joy was great. And, you know, actually, that's a very good point, because I think a lot of people these days that are doing things like this don't know how to deal with their emotions.
No.
And so they get humiliated and they just kill someone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what kind of position they were in, but
it couldn't be that compromising. Yeah. I mean,
that's right. Well, yeah. We're going to go to Pinellas County.
Oh, gosh.
Pinellas. The Pinellas. We hadn't been to Pinellas in a while, but we're going to tell you a pretty crazy story about some wild people in Pinellas County. A Florida man who allegedly defaced a sound barrier wall in St. Petersburg. And y'all, a sound barrier wall is like on the interstate, those big, tall, they look like concrete girders that go down. Those are sound barrier walls. And so if you live right behind those, you don't want to, like, you know, kill yourself somebody. Because every freaking night it's they do work to a degree. So this sound barrier wall was defaced in St. Petersburg, and they arrested a guy for it. When they asked him his name, he told them, Mr. Monopoly.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and that he was born on April 20th of 1969. The problem was Ryan Howard, 33, not 55, as he told them. And in case you're wondering, that's when Monopoly was invented, April 20th, 1969. And he knew that right off the top of his head. He was arrested on Saturday and charged with resisting arrest and criminal mischief. Now, the St. Petersburg Police Department said officers were dispatched after receiving reports that a man in his 20s to 40s was seen. 20s to 40s.
I mean, that's a vast range.
That's a vast range, man. I look at me at 20 and look at me at 40. Yeah. I was a totally different dude. But he was seen spray painting a concrete wall in that area. Witnesses told police a man was wearing a white cloth around his neck and tan and white shorts. So officers respond. They spot a man matching that description. And when they approached him, the officer saw he was in possession of a black bag containing spray paint cans. The officers asked, who ended up, his last name was Howard. They asked him his name and he didn't reply. So they tried again. They said, "What's your name? We're here conducting a criminal investigation and you need to identify yourself." And he didn't comply again. So the officer places him in the back of the police vehicle and asks him a third time for his name. This time, Howard told the officer his name was Mr. Monopoly, a.k.a. Milburn Rich Uncle Pennybags, the mascot of the timeless board game Monopoly. Suspicious that of the name and the date of birth, the officer conducted a search and located a Maine driver's license on the suspect, which gave his real name as Ryan Howard with the correct date of birth. Howard ultimately collected a go-to-jail card and was transported to the Pinellas County Jail. Although he did not roll doubles, he was released after posting a $1,000 bond.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, what do you think you were going to win by telling him your name was Mr. Monopoly?
I don't know. That sounds like Woody Overton. That's a swim.
I could see someone saying that, like, and then saying, "No, really, it's, you know, I'm Mr. Monopoly. No, really, I'm Jim Chapman. Just wanting to see,
yeah,
maybe break the ice."
Yeah.
But this thing was sticking to it. Yeah, they had to find his damn license to find out who he was.
I kind of like that, like, yeah. Mr. Monopoly, because, like, what if the cop, like, what if the policeman thought it was funny, had some dice on him? If I was a policeman, I might have some humor and, like, yeah, carry around some dice in my pocket and see if you roll doubles, you don't have to go.
Yeah. I don't know, Cindy. You might be like, "Give me your damn name."
Oh, well, yeah.
I know better than that. I'll mace you.
Oh, I would be hardcore.
No doubt.
I would.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Well, we're going to stay in Florida because this is pretty crazy, too. a homeless Florida man, probably in Pinellas County, wearing women's clothes, who wanted to kill everyone, intentionally drove a vehicle through the jail, authorities said Tuesday. Joseph Leedy, 40, drove a car through the doors of the Martin County jail lobby Tuesday night at the Martin County Sheriff's Office. So I guess not Pinellas, too bad. Images released by the Sheriff's Office show a Toyota halfway inside the jail building with the doors ripped off. After the crash, Leedy got out of the car wearing a female blouse and no pants. He allegedly poured motor oil on the floor and said he wanted to set it on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
He continued making homicidal statements about police officers and expressed his desire to kill everyone while he threw rubber snakes on the floor and fought with deputies and fire rescue personnel, authorities said. The crash caused thousands of dollars worth of damage to the building, but the car was only able to get halfway into the building.
Thank God.
I would hope that a car wouldn't be able to get anywhere in a jail, you know?
Yeah. They need them little things you put on the outside of it that keep cars.
Right.
The I guess, barriers.
Yeah.
Those concrete barriers.
You would hope that it would just keep that from happening.
Yeah.
No one was standing in the lobby at the time, thank goodness. Leedy was restrained and taken to a hospital where he was uncooperative. He was taken back to jail. He's been charged with 4 counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer and criminal mischief of over $1,000. Seems like he should have gotten charged for the damage to the building. I know it was more than $1,000.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, you would think. And, it's fortunately, thank God, no one was hurt in that. What a dumbass.
A blouse?
A blouse. No underwear. Mm-mm. No. Don't nobody want to see your junk, dude.
Mm-mm.
I mean, put the gun back in the holster. Whatever. I mean, damn. In the police station of all places to crash into. What an idiot. But it reminds me of, there is a local business here in Denham Springs, and this business is right past the railroad tracks. So over the years, there have been instances where people are flying down the roads, speeding, drunk, whatever, hit the railroad tracks, bounce when they hit the street again, and then drive into this business through the window, right? Mm-hmm. Crazy that I think it happened 3 times, and every time it happened, it was on a Sunday when the business was closed.
Oh, thank God.
Had the business been open, people would have been killed. Yeah, there's people there all day long every day.
Right, right.
Every time it's ever happened, it's been on a Sunday when the business was closed.
Wow.
That's pretty wild.
That is.
But the business, for their part, they have put up concrete girders.
Mm-hmm.
So that if a car does hit those railroad tracks, bounce, and go towards their business, it's going to mess their car up and mess them up, but it ain't going to mess up that
or
people on
anybody.
The inside of that business.
Yeah.
So I just found that interesting that its location is just bad for that.
Right.
But every time it was people that were drunk, of course, or on drugs.
Right.
That, they're going 100 miles an hour and hit it railroad tracks. Yeah.
Horrible.
That's smart. Cindy Overton. Thank you again.
But thank you.
This was good.
Yeah.
Good stories today.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
No, just thank you for having me. And I do want to do a quick shout out.
Yes.
Because
we love shout outs.
Well, Woody's second day in the hospital, he felt like he wanted something cold to drink and he wanted a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And so for whatever reason, CC's in the hospital was closed. And so I literally, I drove, never mind. I went somewhere. He wanted a sausage McMuffin, which he gets on the way to the studio almost every day. And he wanted a frappe from McDonald's. And lo and behold, the frappe machine's broken, right?
Of course.
So I go across the street to the 7 Brew. I've never been to 7 Brew. I've heard people talking about how great it is. It's like the Chick-fil-A of coffee. Like everybody's being sweet and nice and just wishing you a blessed day. And they just do kind things. And
this is in Baton Rouge?
This was in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
And so I get there, and the girl that I pull up, and this girl is super duper nice to me. She's like, "Do you have a phone number with us?" And I was like, "No." And she's like, "Well, if you give me a phone number, we're not going to spam you, but you get a And you buy a small drink, you get a free drink the next time you come, any, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but if you want, if you're getting two drinks today, you'll get your free drink today. And so I ordered my small drink, and then I ordered Woody's caramel, their version of a caramel frappe. And they were like, well, do you want like caramel all on the sides? And do you want whipped cream on top and like whatever? And I was like, yes. I said, my husband's in the hospital. This is for him. And I want it as pretty as can be. Not that Woody's even going to pay attention, but, you know, just. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to give you this all for free. And what else do you want? Like, you want a muffin top? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
she, cool.
And yeah. They're across from a hospital. So people right. go in there all the time
sure.
from the hospital. So yeah. I just thought it was really, really sweet. And so I asked her for her card. And she, and I was like, look, I'm not like some horrible person. Like, she was like, oh, I need to ask my manager. So David Milliken, right? Milliken?
Yeah, it looks like David Milliken.
He is a stand operator, and he came out and met me, and then we talked about the podcast, and I told him Woody was going to give him a shout out, but I get the pleasure of giving a shout out. So if you get to go to the Seven Brew on Essen, please tell them that Real Life Real Crime sent you, because that will make his day. I've gone Absolutely. Through there every single day since then, and he always makes a point to come out and say hi to me and ask how Woody's doing. And
well, it's interesting. Their slogan is cultivating kindness.
Yes.
So there you yes. go. It looks like they practice what they preach.
They do practice what they yeah. preach. This is the only one that I've gone to. The line is out the driveway, and it circles around the building. And there's probably two lines, and there's probably 20 cars able to get in each line.
Awesome.
And they go rapidly through it. It's an amazing thing. So I was just, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to the folks at Seven Brew Drive-Thru Coffee on
Essen
Lane,
yes.
Baton Rouge.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Cindy Overton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.